Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle show, where we cover all your latest NFL news and action. We're going to talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks today. Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit, but, you know, as they say, the show goes on, so hopefully, you know, continuing on, I'll start to improve a little bit, but like I said, we got to move forward, and we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Dallas Cowboys are looking better than they have in a very long time. They're starting to take control of the NFC. You know, it's been a long time since Jerry Jones has been in the position he's in now. The Dallas Cowboys are the reigning NFC champs, and they got even better this offseason. Jason Witten, Robert Quinn, and Randall Cobb have all been added to their roster, and there's so much to be optimistic about. It's very possible that Dallas emerges as the favorite on the NFC side of the bracket. You know, Los Angeles and New Orleans both lost some key pieces, and it looks like they could take a small step backwards, which opens the door for someone like the Cowboys to make the leap to the top of the conference. The biggest threat could be the Philadelphia Eagles, who also had a terrific offseason. With additions of Jordan Howard, Deshaun Jackson, and Malik Jackson, then there's Chicago, who will always be a force as long as they have their elite defense intact. To be fair, though, they also have a stout defense down in Arlington, Texas. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, and Byron Jones were all outstanding a year ago. They're not quite as good as the Bears, but then again, they didn't have to sell the farm to acquire all their top-notch defenders like Chicago did. So from a long-term perspective, they're in a much better position. It just goes to show that America's team is ascending. One of the most important storylines for them will be Dak Prescott and how he handles the offense late in the season. We already know this franchise is good enough to get to the playoffs, but that's when you're really tested. You know, Prescott threw for 266 yards, one touchdown, and no interceptions in the divisional round loss to the Rams. However, he'll need to put up at least three passing TDs in every elimination game the next time around. Other than that, everything else looks promising. So, the Dallas Cowboys, they look better than they have in a long time. They're the reigning NFC East champs. A lot of that is because of their defense. Like I said, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, those guys were tough as nails. Byron Jones did a great job at cornerback. They have a lot of talent, and they can clamp down on teams. But, you know, I think they scored like 21 points against the Rams in that loss, or something along those lines. It just wasn't enough. You know? And even though Dak had a good game for his standards, 266 yards, one touchdown, and no interceptions, it's still not good enough. I don't know how they're going to extend Dak Prescott, just because he doesn't put up those big numbers. I think he had one touchdown pass in the game before that, the wild card game against Seattle. So two touchdowns in two playoff games, that's not going to cut it from your quarterback. And I know Jerry Jones has been adamant that he wants to pay this guy and take care of him. And he's just kind of trying to be a good owner and have his quarterbacks back because, you know, Dak did a lot for him. I don't know if it's enough to get this team over the hump. And, you know, I question whether or not Jason Garrett can get this team over the hump. But the defense can. You know, the defense got them in the playoffs last year. The defense won them the division last year. We know Ezekiel Elliott's good enough to get it done, even though he struggled against the Rams. To me, the weak point is the quarterback position. So really it comes down to that. And, you know, Jason Garrett, I would much rather have, you know, the AAF's best coach, Steve Spurrier, over Jason Garrett any day of the week. You know, Steve Spurrier is a much better coach. He would be better for that team. But regardless, like I said, they're going to be close to the top of the NFC. The biggest threat to me is Philadelphia. You know, but the thing with Philadelphia, even though they had all those upgrades, Carson Wentz always gets hurt. So if Carson Wentz gets hurt, Philly's completely done. Obviously, New Orleans and Los Angeles are probably the most realistic threats to the Cowboys. You know, I said the Eagles just because I like what they've done this offseason. I think they got better. And I know the Saints lost Max Unger up front, so that's going to hurt. But, you know, they did get Jared Cook, so they also lost Mark Ingram, replaced him with Latavius Murray. So the Saints are, I would say, slightly worse from losing Unger and swapping out Ingram for, but not much worse, just a little tad bit worse. So what they win last year, I don't even remember, like 13 games. So they might fall back to 11, maybe 11 or 10 games. Los Angeles, I could see them falling back to, you know, 9 or 10 wins. They could even go 8-8. But to me, Dallas got better. I can see them maybe jumping up to, actually they'll probably go for 10 wins again, or maybe they could get up to 11 or 12 wins. But it's going to be in that range. But the good news is at the end of the day, you know, or when the off season's over, were you plus or negative? You know, plus meaning you're better and you're improving, or negative and taking a step backwards. To me, Los Angeles for sure, the Rams are a negative. So they're, you know, they're losing Sue. They're losing Joyner. They lost some other players too. I think some linemen. Roger Saffold, and I think maybe Sullivan could be gone too. So to me, the Rams are worse. Saints are slightly worse, but the Cowboys are better. The Eagles are definitely better. Time will tell with Chicago. To me, there wasn't much change with Chicago, and I still question if Chicago has the offense to do it. You know, obviously if Mitchell Trubisky gets better, that would be huge for them. But Dallas for sure got better, and that's all you can ask for. The next topic we have up, we're going to talk about, let's go to the Seattle Seahawks situation. The Seattle Seahawks, so Russell Wilson, he is supposed to be the highest paid player in the league. To me, that's a risky decision because, you know, just 3 out of the top 15 highest paid quarterbacks made the playoffs last season. You know, Pete Carroll should trade Russell Wilson, clear some cap space, and load up on draft picks. And I've been consistent with this story all the way leading up to now, but I just wanted to, you know, echo it one more time and just give you some facts. You know, everyone knows the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson are working on an extension that could make him the highest paid player in the league. But you have to wonder why Pete Carroll would go this route. Out of the top 15 highest paid quarterbacks in the league, only 3 of them made it to the playoffs last season. Clearly overvaluing the QB position doesn't result in a lot of success, and Carroll should look at the data and go against the grain. Another team might give up 2 first-round picks to get Wilson. It would also free up some of Seattle's cap space. Not to mention Wilson is already 30 years old, and that doesn't help when your greatest strength is your mobility. You know, pocket passers age better because they don't move around too much. You know, Wilson, on the other hand, needs his athleticism to be a difference maker. Carroll also won a Super Bowl with a rookie QB contract, and what that does is allow the team to spend more on the defense or the other positions. The Seahawks can take the $30 million a year they were going to use on Wilson and probably bring in Ndamukong Suh, Ezekiel Ansah, Timmy Jernigan, Jay Ajayi, and Michael Crabtree. You know, then this ball club could have up to 3 first-round picks from the Wilson deal, which could easily turn into Drew Lock, you know, N'Keal Harry, and David Montgomery. You know, collectively, the talent on this roster would be way better off. You know, Pete Carroll needs to see through the trap of QB mega contracts and stack his roster. If he signs a lot of those older veterans to a one-year deal, then they'll all come off the books next year. Ultimately, that would give this organization the financial freedom to be big spenders in free agency next offseason as well. To me, Seattle should sell high. And here's the thing. They call it selling high for a reason. So when people get all offended when you say trade Russell Wilson, to me, that's the ultimate sell high. Khalil Mack was a sell high. It was a good move for the Raiders. They got two first-round picks for him. That's going to allow the new coach there, John Gruden, to tailor the team however he sees fit. I'll talk about in a situation where a team missed on the sell high. David Johnson with the Arizona Cardinals, after he had that huge breakout year, Arizona could have sold high on David Johnson and loaded up on draft picks. Instead, the next year, what happened? I think he got hurt the very next year after that. Hasn't really been the same player since. And to me, you know, Russell Wilson is the perfect sell high. And, you know, you have these windows to do it. Russell Wilson's obviously his window's a lot larger because it doesn't seem like he's going to slow down anytime soon. But with that being said, he is 31 years old, so he is on the back end of his career. And like I said, when you're a mobile guy and you're getting older, that means you start to lose a step athletically. Now he's not as good at escaping the pressure. I mean, he's still going to be pretty good for at least the next 5 years, but he's going to start to slow down a little bit and not be able to make some of the plays he could in his younger days. And to me, it's just the perfect time to get a couple picks. And not only do you get those picks that would, you know, help Pete Carroll make a run at another Super Bowl later on down the line, you're saving so much money in cap space. You don't have to get Sue on the Jernigan, Ajayi, and Michael Crabtree. I'm just saying, for now, if you signed all those guys to one-year deals, they would be off the books next year. But you could sign any, you know, four or five players for that $30 million that would be going to Russell Wilson. Yes, the quarterback position, you know, the stats prove it. Three out of the top 15 made the playoffs. And the reason why is because when you pay a quarterback all that money, you know, you can't pay a guy on your defense or an offensive lineman or a receiver or a tight end. And that quarterback position is sucking up so much of the cap space. You don't have the financial freedom to maneuver in free agency or to work a trade and get a star player because it puts you over the cap. To me, you know, is Seattle better with Wilson? Are they better with Sue, Anza, Jernigan, Ajayi, and Crabtree? To me, I think, first of all, you get Ndamukong Suh and Anza in Pete Carroll's system, who, keep in mind, Pete Carroll is a defensive mastermind, and it all starts with the pressure up front. Those guys are going to cause a lot of havoc. And then, you know, Ajayi and Michael Crabtree, they're not, to me, at this point in their careers, they're not your alphas, but they could be good role players. And people say, Crabtree, why would you bring in Crabtree? They brought in Brandon Marshall last year. You're telling me that Brandon Marshall last year would be better than Crabtree this year? There's no way. I think Crabtree could give you four, at most five touchdowns, but that's more than Brandon Marshall could have gave the Seahawks last year. So to me, you do that, and then if you could get N'Keal Harry, Drew Lock, and David Montgomery, or Dwayne Haskins, N'Keal Harry, and David Montgomery, you're going to be loaded. They would probably be the team that comes out of the NFC. So that's just what I would do. We'll see what Carroll does, but we'll know in time here, and Really, that's all I have today. Thanks for listening. I'm John Kuzma. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. I'm signing off.